Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Tsinis.
Kayla Tsinis. I'm Kayla Tsinis, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Velkommen til Kaptare podcast og en litt annerledes samtale enn jeg vanligvis har. Jeg har snakket med en kvinne som heter Valentina Veretska. Kan sikkert uttales på flere forskjellige måter. Hun fra Ukraina. Og jeg kom over henne litt tilfeldig ved at jeg leste New York Times, som jeg bruker litt som kilde akkurat nå for nyheter. Så leser jeg om henne at hun har vunnet Jerusalem Marathon etter å ha flyktet fra krigen i Ukraina. Så uten å ha ladet opp, som vi vanligvis gjør, og uten å ha fått løpt noe særlig den siste måneden, så får hun reise til Jerusalem og vinner da altså Jerusalem Marathon. Et ganske hardt maraton, som vi skal høre. Valentina, hun forteller litt av historien sin her på en Zoom-samtale som vi hadde. Etter å ha lest om henne i New York Times, så fikk jeg bare en intuisjon på at jeg måtte kontakte henne og gjøre en samtale på podcasten. Så hun svarte og ville gjerne det. Hun er rett og slett i en litt fortvilet situasjon etter å ha flyktet fra Ukraina når krigen brøt ut til Polen med sin datter. Mannen er igjen i Ukraina og er forsvarer landet, rett og slett, mot, under invasjonen. Så ja, denne samtalen her synes jeg ble veldig flott. Den er ikke så lang, men allikevel så får vi lære ganske mye. Håper dere setter dere ned, eller tar litt tid til å høre hele. Og så får vi bare virkelig, endelig håpe at Valentina kan reise tilbake og bli gjenforent med sin mann. Hun hadde en ganske sterk opplevelse i det maratonet, og det er det jeg tenker noen ganger, løping kan virke trivielt oppi det hele, men akkurat denne historien her vitner om en større opplevelse utenfor seg selv, og en slags transformasjon som kan ja, ha ringvirkninger videre. Så veldig glad for at jeg fikk til dette, alle sammen. Takk for at dere lytter. So hello Valentina, how are you?
Hello, I'm fine.
Yes. Where are you?
I'm in Poland now, in Krakow.
In Krakow, in the capital.
Yes. Yeah.
Are you with friends or family or?
No, I'm just here because it's close to Ukraine, just crossing the border and stay here in Poland. And I live now in Polish family. It's not my family, but they just try to help us. And for now, it's like my family because they're really friendly and very helped me.
Yes. I understand that a lot of people from Ukraine have traveled to Poland.
A lot of people. Now here in Krakow and Warsaw, it's maybe, I don't know, really a lot of people. It's maybe 25% of Ukraine here.
So how is the situation in Krakow? How is the kind of mood? Are people very affected by what's happening in the neighbor country?
Yes, now it's better because first 2 weeks it was very difficult. Because here people without documents, and everybody want to make some new documents and go to embassy of Ukraine here in Krakow or Warsaw. That's why here in these two cities it's a lot of people because they come to Poland without documents, and now just make these documents and then go to other places. So now it's every day better. People find some place for stay and go to different cities.
Okay. So I just want to back a little bit up here, because I just had the intuition. I read my main news source is the New York Times, to understand what's happening, and they do some very good background stories also, so you can kind of understand the broader aspect of this. And then I suddenly read that you, Valentina, had fled from Ukraine and ran a marathon in Israel, in Jerusalem. So, and then I thought, whoa, and it kind of got a little bit closer, because I could, you know, relate to Ukraine as it's in Europe, but then I definitely could relate to a marathon that I had run myself. And can't you just tell me a little bit about yourself and your background, how you got into running, and then we can talk a little bit about the run, and then obviously go a little bit into your situation as of now.
Yes, I'm a professional athlete, and I ran from my, I don't know, more than 16 years. So it's my normal day, my normal walk. And actually in 2014, 2015, I trained with a Norwegian team in a small city, Jessheim. Oslo. Yes, you know.
So you have been there to Jessheim?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yes. And after 24 February, I just finished my run. I'm not training because it's a lot of stress and depression. It's a situation thinking about my family, about husband, which stay in Ukraine. And I just can't run. No power, no energy. And I came with documents and my daughter without any things, shoes, clothes, just come, you know, just run away from Ukraine. And I can't just run here. And when I get the invitation letter for Jerusalem Marathon, it just like changed me. And people here help me. They give me shoes, collect some clothes for me. So they just support me. My husband support me. My daughter support me. So everybody try to make me better, but I understand it's only 2 weeks before marathon, and this preparation should be very short, very fast. So it's looking like impossible, really. But my husband told me, you know how it's run. You know, it's just a marathon. It's just a difficult train. It's just a walk. So go and run.
So you had planned to run the Jerusalem Marathon? On before you had not.
Okay.
So your situation is you are a runner, obviously, as we can come into that, but winning the whole as a woman, the first woman to win the Jerusalem Marathon, or you came first of all women in a very good time. What was the time?
2:45. Yeah. But when I when I think I stop after 42 and 2 kilometers, I just look on my watch. It was 42 and 3, and I see no finish gate. Where is it? So just finish gate come when in my watch was 43.5.
Okay.
So it was very strange, but it was good.
Yeah. So how many marathons have you completed before this one?
4 years ago, I ran my first marathon in Germany. And after this marathon, I think it's my first and my last marathon in my life because it was very difficult. I remember this pain. I don't want to repeat again. But my second marathon and third marathon, two together, it was last October. So I just started run again marathons from last October, and it was two marathons in 1 month. And then here in Jerusalem.
Okay, so but your background as a runner, how long have you trained running and been into athletics since you were very young? Or
when I came to sport, I have 14, 13, like this. And it was just play. It's just kids' sport play, just have fun, friends. And normal profession, I think I start from 18. But then I was pregnant, so I have daughter. And then my normal sport way start from 21. So just 10 years.
Okay, so you're
professional.
So you're 31 now.
Yes.
And you have a daughter, which is all, more than 10, or
11.
How old is 11? Okay. So she's with you.
Yes, with me.
Yeah, but your husband is still in Ukraine. He's protecting. He's in Kyiv, or
no, my city, my native city, Nikolaev. Here in this city. So I'm here in Poland because of daughter, because I want safe life for my daughter. So when I run away, I'm not thinking about me or my husband. I just think about save my daughter. So if we stay just with my husband, probably we still stay together in Nikolaev. But because of she, I'm here for her.
Of course. Yes, I understand. I reckon that a lot of mothers with children have fled the country, and a lot of men are staying back to protect. So where is this city of Nikolaev? Was that the
yes, between Odessa and Kherson, Crimea, maybe, you know, Crimea. So between Odessa and Crimea, now it's a very attacked city.
It is
very attacked. Yes.
Okay. So your husband is in a zone that is being attacked. He's in a fighting kind of position.
Yes, he was in city and protect the city. But you know, before marathon, he not told me. He moved to other city. He moved to other side of Ukraine. And just after marathon, next day he told me. He called and told me, "I'm not in Nikolaev now. I now in other city. I should have operation for knee." Because, you know, he also athlete, and we have sometimes problems with knee, some heels. And he just don't want to tell me before marathon for I'm be not stressed. So just he moved, but he was quiet and not told me. And right now he has preparation for operation to knee.
Okay, so he's injured.
Yes,
he's injured in the knee. Yeah, is the place he's in still under attack, or is he in a more safe zone now? Yeah,
now attacked every Ukraine now. Yeah. Every cities in Ukraine now very dangerous. So
yeah.
It's not so much like in Nikolaev, but it's still attacked. And yesterday it was attacked. So today I not called him, but every day.
Every day you talk to him to check he's safe. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, but tell me a little bit about how it was before the attack, before the end of February. Did you live your life as normal?
Yes, normal.
Family and job, you went to your work and you were daughter is at school and everything is normal?
Yes, it was normal. Actually, my husband from Donetsk, and we had one war 2014 from Donetsk. And we lost everything, you know, lost life, house, everything. And we start new life in Nikolaev. It's my native city in Nikolaev. We start new life. So we just finish build our new house. And just in New Year, it was first the first time invite the full family. And we stay in new house. So it was normal life, normal. I training every day, just for run, not for some marathon, just for run, training for activity. And 23rd of February in the evening, my friends from Poland and from Norway, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, they called me, and from Poland they just called me and say, "Why you stay still in Ukraine? Why you not here in Poland? We're so close. Just drive." I say, "No, it's okay. In Nikolaev, in Ukraine, we're safe. It's nothing changed. So like 1 week ago, now it's same day." But then from Norway, my friend, it's my. We trained together because I was in running a team, running a club. So it's owner of this club. He called me and asked me why you're still in Ukraine. I just send you invitation letter and go to Norway. So not stay here. I ask why, because now it's normal. It's not a bad place. Why you told me this? And he know, I know it's war. Now it started war. I don't know, but when he called me, it was like a bit stressed to me, but I'm still not realized that we can have war next day. And in the morning when he had first attacked, first bomb, I just wake up and in 2 minutes I sit with my daughter and documents in the car and we drive. Just not think, I think he prepared my mentally. This is for this. Just I'm not thinking about clothes, some shoes, something. I just wake up and run away.
It's very fast, just in the from one day to the next, you just realized that, what was happening. Yeah.
And that time, I think it's started only in Nikolaev. I think I not go to the board. I think maybe 4 or 5 days and come back to Nikolaev. So we drive just to a closer city, just from away from Nikolaev. But then when we drive and I see this panic, people around attacked everywhere in Ukraine. So we decided to go to war with Poland.
But going to Poland, but with no destination and no people that you knew there, with nothing really. So how did you manage to... What was your decision and where to go and how could you figure out where to live and everything in such a short time?
That time we just drive without documents and I have passport, but my daughter have nothing. So we just drive and think maybe something changed and Poland help us and open door. But my daughter without documents. So it was difficult, but all the time we drive and think about do something in the board. And here was a lot of people without documents, just with Ukrainian passport or Ukrainian some documents. But Poland host us, opened the door and help.
Yeah, I've understood that the Polish people are kind of letting people into their homes. And have you got friends in Krakow now?
Now, yes. When we collect clothes for me for marathon, I just start to know new people and they're very friendly.
Yeah.
Yes.
But some of your old friends from Ukraine, have they also gone to Poland and to Krakow? So you have some familiar people? Or
my close girl friend, it's, you know, friend from my country, from Donetsk, she a friend from Donetsk. She stay in Kiev and then now travel to Germany. But I very ask her, maybe you want come to Poland, stay with me. But I'm staying now not in my apartment. I stay with Polish people in just room. But it doesn't matter. I ask her maybe stay with me, and she now in Germany. So I'm here just with my daughter and the people around from Poland. Yeah. I have one friend, but she in Germany.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So a lot of other people, you know, have they also fled from Ukraine, traveled to other countries, or are they still inside?
My family, a lot of my friends still inside, and my athlete's friend, like a sport family, also inside, and I speak with everybody a lot of times a day, but. I know here now a lot of people, and a lot of people go away from Ukraine, because I remember this day in board. It was million people, and it was very difficult. I never see a lot of people in one place. Yes, but a lot of my friends are still in Ukraine.
So it's... Yeah. So what are they saying about the situation from day to day?
The situation bad, very difficult, and they, you know, I spoke with my family, with my aunt, and she told me it's difficult. It's really very difficult to understand. They can't go. She's a doctor, and she just go to work, and she can not finish travel. That is just to go back because of alarm signal of. Go back to home. So difficult life, very difficult life. And even now, from Monday, my daughter start online school from Ukraine. But she not. It's not normal, because she just start, and it can be finished after 5 minutes. So, example, on Monday she has 6 lessons, but she has just 2. Yesterday, it was just 2.5, like this.
So
difficult life.
Oh, yes, I understand. Have you also been homeschooling during the pandemic, like we did here in Norway and other European countries the last years? Did you close down in Ukraine and homeschooled? Or have you been, has she been attending school, your daughter?
Yes, it was online school, and it was normal, just online school. Just normal school online, and I'm also not. I'm training, but when was coronavirus, we don't have compete. It's just no competition. Exactly. So I'm also have lessons, some practice with massage. So I'm also start new work, massage therapist, the physiotherapist, the rehabilitologist.
Yeah, are you studying that?
Yes, I these people helped me to buy this bed for massage, but it's still stay and waiting when I find apartment and maybe start to my work here.
Yeah. So but the teacher of your daughter is also still in Ukraine, trying to
in Ukraine.
Have the homeschool.
Yes, in Ukraine.
So what is your daughter thinking about the situation, and how are you explaining it to her?
She very miss for friends. She very miss for school friends, and she has two friends. It's twins, two girls. They're together from kindergarten and a lot of years together. And every day they go together to running every day. And just take fun together, stay together. And now they're not together. And she spoke with them and just try to understand voice, just to try support. Soon we'll be together again, like play, have fun. But start now, she's gone better, because here in Polish family, it's a small dog. And this dog very help us. Just before, it was just she sit and always speak about the grandmother, about the grandfather, you know, just about family. And now she play with this dog, and I see how she changed.
Oh, great! Yeah, that's very fortunate to have a pet that play with, especially for kids. But it's very, what do you say, calming and soothing to have either a dog or a cat or something that can take your attention away from thinking about things like this. Yeah, I see it with my own kids, as I have two, that they just love, you know, playing with animals, even though we don't have one in the flat here. But a little bit back to the running, because that's what caught my attention, the small New York Times article. So you fled. You had no plans of running the marathon in Jerusalem. How did all this happen? How was it that they invited you from the Jerusalem Marathon? How did they hear about you, or how did everything happen?
I very wish to go this marathon before, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I very want, but I understand it's high level competition, and it's very good because I want to run here, because it's Jerusalem, it's Holy Land. I never been here, so why not? I just want to try and go to this competition, just take a part. And before I tried to come, I tried to send mail 2 years ago, 1 year ago. My last letter was from September. I just asked, maybe you can help me to make a visa, because I can't come without visa, so it's difficult to make. I'm not Israeli citizen, so I can't come.
So they have to invite you, yeah.
Yes, they should invite me, but it's no answer. And when I get a message from "we invite you," it was like, you know, I don't know how he know about me, because I sent letter more than half a year ago.
Okay.
Yes, they just invite me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you sent the letter, and they probably had it lying, and then they maybe, you know, thought about, Valentina is Ukrainian, let's check how she is. So they contact you via email, or how did they reach out to you?
Just they found me in Instagram, but it's strange, I'm not used to Instagram before. Just in Facebook, I don't know how they found me, and why I open Instagram and see this.
Okay, so how did you arrange then you could go on a plane, fly to Jerusalem?
I just asked him, I need visa. They told me, no, you have invitation letter, it's enough. I say, sure, it's 100%, just invitation letter. They say, yes, just invitation letter, we're waiting for you. Okay, I travel from Krakow to Budapest, and from Budapest to Tel Aviv. So in Budapest, I had a lot of problems because of no visa.
Okay.
I just called the manager of marathon and asked, I should have visa. They not, it's not allowed to come without visa, not only invitation letter. Hi. I need medicine insurance, just insurance for life, a lot of documents. And they told me, you can finish and change your flight the next 3 days. I say, no, I need now, because in 3 days I should go back to Krakow.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and when 3 hours I stay in this line and we can do nothing, I nervous, and then when I see around nobody, gate was closed, I just think, it's finished. It's my finish, go back to Krakow. I cry. Oh. And the manager of marathon called me and asked, where are you in plane? I said, no, of course, I'm without visa. I'm just probably go back to Krakow because nobody around, the gate is closed. And he told me, wait 5 minutes. I said, okay, wait for what? Nothing change. For what wait? No visa, nothing change. And I don't know what he did, but the minister of sport from Israel, he called something to tell. I don't know. They just stop plane, come back, speak with me, check my luggage, and without visa, I go to plane. And we just stop plane for 20, 30 minutes. For me, everybody waiting for me. Yes, it was a big surprise for me.
Yeah, how did you feel then?
it's first time when I run through all airport and hear signal, Valentina, we're waiting for you, hurry up, please. Oh.
So you could get on the plane and fly to Tel Aviv. And how short was that before the run? When did you arrive and when was the run?
I arrived on Wednesday evening and run was on Friday. So I just arrived to Tel Aviv and then it was very easy because people waited for me and it's just, I don't know, in 15 minutes I stay outside with, it was very easy. Just take taxi, drive to hotel, everybody waiting for me. So then in Tel Aviv, in Israel, general, it was very easy because people, it's looking like I come back to home. You know, everybody waited for me and helped me. This positive, this energy, which I not feel before. This 1 month with stress and depression and cry. And, you know, it's something, it's contrast. It was something new for me. So I just take this energy from everybody and it's helped me smiling, you know.
Great. So how was the run? How many people start that marathon? How many people are on the starting line?
22,000.
22,000. So that's a pretty big marathon. Yeah. How were you thinking on beforehand? Just did you have a strategy with the running? Because obviously your training had gone a little on the side and you hadn't, I guess you had tapered, as they say, you had run less in the weeks before. How did you feel?
It was very cold.
It was cold.
Yes, very cold. It's not normal weather for Israel. Uh-huh. It was 4 degrees.
Oh,
rain,
yeah.
Rain, wind, very cold. And everything's wet, slippery. It's not good weather. No. And strategy for my run had just my daughter. Because in the evening before the race, she sent me a picture. She just make a picture and send me where I stay in podium in first place with two flags.
She sent you a picture that you were in the podium?
Yes, before marathon. And I tried to explain to her, it's a lot of people, thank you for support. I do what I can, but I think it's very difficult, but I really try. So just she was sure I'm stay in podium in first place. And yes, really, right. I was not sure, but she know exactly.
She believed 100%. In you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing. So you felt that when you started, you didn't know what was going to happen, but you will do your best. So how was the run in itself? Did you start really in the front with the elite, with all the fast runners?
Yeah. Yes. Managers of marathon, they helped me and they put me on first line on the front and I started first line. So they helped me. And after 5 kilometers, I just take one man. And he ran in front of me and just we ran together. I don't know. I understand he like wool for wind for me. And with him, it's not easy run, but it's better than without him.
Yeah.
Yes. And the race was very difficult. I'm not think it's so hilly. I never been in Israel and I think it's flat. But no, it's you run just down or uphill.
All the time.
All the time. It's no flat place.
No, I
have any
heard,
flat
heard,
place.
Yeah.
Yes.
How is the course? Is it one long loop of 42 or do you go several rounds or how do you do it?
One lap just run around city, outside city. I not remember because I just... look on the road and
I focused. Yeah.
Yes, I'm not focused. I just remember this pain, everything. It's legs. It's this pain in legs, in liver, everywhere. And I remember one moment in 18 kilometers. I remember this pain. It's a very strong pain. And I lost my energy gel. So I ran without anything. It was slippery and rain. So I just taken hand and lost it. So I'm not stop run with this guy. So without gel and this pain, I can't explain you. And I look on road when we run uphill. Big uphill. It was 18 kilometers, and I think it's impossible. It's just not half marathon. It's just 18, and now it's more than 21 last two marathon. It was difficult, but I remember this guy told me, look around. Open your eyes, look around. I think, what do you want from me? I'm just dying. You speak with me. And he, no, look around. Just look this. And when we run in this uphill, I just look around and this view, I can't explain this view. It was all Jerusalem on my hand. And you see all the city. It was very dark, very rainy. It's so dark in one side, but in the other side, it's so sunny. It's this strong sunny. I never see so strong sunny, even in summer. Really, maybe it's contrast because it was very dark and the sun and rainbow on our road. Yes, and we run through this rainbow. I can't explain it. It's this view. It's so strong emotion. This rainbow, rain, sun, dark, everything together, all Jerusalem here. And you look on this, I don't know, after this something changed and I just run with this boy. I'm not feel pain, anything. It was very easy for me. I like play. I like not run, I just fly and play. And I always speak with this boy and say, you can get the next place, just take this boy next, just fast run. I speak with him. I understand that I can run faster, but he helped me before run to this moment. And I just run with him. So we just run together. After 18 kilometers, I not feel that I'm run. It's just like normal day for me and something changed. I speak with him. No, it's I can't explain. It's something changed inside me.
That sounds amazing. That something shifted there from your explanation. I can try to picture it in my head, but I understand from what you say that something definitely changed in your inside, because obviously the body is the same and the pain you felt and everything, but it just released. And you had the energy to just fly the rest of the marathon?
This view, I can't explain it. It's so color. It's so strong color, dark and sun. And this rainbow and rain. It's after this, I feel cold, just cold weather. But people around was so warm. I don't know. So I'm not feel so cold because people around was so warm. And in the finish line, just 40 meters before, no, not 40, 400 maybe.
Yeah, 400,
meters before,
yeah.
Before finish line, manager of marathon give me flag, but I can't, you know, it's just flag and I tried to make this normal. And this guy ran a bit faster. And just before the line, 60 meters, he just stopped and waiting for me.
Oh.
help me while the run. He helped me to open this flag and we run, just finished together.
Okay. So you had the flag?
Yes. And very interesting that I met this guy while I run. After the race, I just hug him and all. Then I can't find him. Just he was in this moment and all he go away from my life. I don't know. He just come for this moment, go away, and now no connection. Just he was in my life, and now like I don't know what it was.
No, was he a runner? He was in the race.
Yes, just in the race. We met in the race while we run, and then after the race, he just see where is he and just finish. He was just my runner friend and told.
Yeah, he is the same boy that you were talking about that you were running with.
No,
we this just, was yeah. You just met just, before, yeah, before the finish.
You know, we met before this moment. We met on after 5 kilometer. I get him and we run together. He helped me, then I help him. Mm. He waited for me and finished.
Mm.
And he go away from my life. I don't know what it was. Just like, you know, like angel. He's here and no, he's not here.
Okay. Wow. Did you know that you were the first female to finish when you got to the finish line? Did you know that you were the fastest female?
Before, until this moment, I think I'm not finished because I feel really, really a strong pain, and I understand without energy jelly, it's impossible. But then after this moment, I just run and I understand now something changed and it's very easy for me. I understand I can run faster, I can run slow, I can do what I want. Mm. And it was like a game, you know. I'm just, after this moment, I understand I'm 100% finished, and I understand probably I finish first, and I very want this because before I ran for my victory, but after I just changed and I run not for my victory, not for my own victory. I run for, you know, just I understand I should finish first and just finish first for speak with people and give this voice from Ukraine.
Mm.
So then it was not like my own victory. I just run for this mission. I don't know how it's explained.
Yeah, for something greater than yourself.
Yes. It's something changed while I run.
Mm. It sounds amazing. How was it after you finished then, when you with all the people and all the fuss in the finish line? Did the manager or the race officials come to you and say you have won, or you have won the female first?
Firstly, after finish line, I just feel this easy energy. You know, it's very happy, and these emotions. It's very strong emotions. And then, just I speak with everybody, with journalists, the interviewer, and I'm not tired. And people ask me, maybe you're tired, maybe you want to eat or drink. I know, I'm full of energy. I don't know. It's marathon, but I'm full of energy. I don't know. I really not tired. My legs still have no pain. You know, after marathon, it's no pain, any pain, really. And the next day I have run, but normally people not run next 5 days.
Yeah.
It's really was something strange. And people saw it and asked me, you're not tired. Maybe you want rest. I say, no, I want to speak with you. I want give this emotion of this view, because this picture in my eyes, like this in this hill after 18 kilometers, it's so strong emotion. And I try to explain people this, I don't know, I think it's something changed in my life, and it's I take this love from this land and try to give this to people. But I try to give this to people, but people give it to me. So it's like, it was big emotion. And I just speak with people and I was not tired.
Mm. That sounds like a great, you felt a lot of love from that
yes,
whole,
yes.
That's a very, very strong emotion. I think it's the strongest there is, actually. It transcends everything else.
Yes, you know, I was not happy about I'm won, about I'm winner. I was happy about I can see this.
Yeah.
I can realize this. I saw this view. I felt this love. I feel now this life. So I'm just was very happy because of I'm here, and it's changed my life inside me. Not about I'm winner. about this people, this land, this emotion. It was very cold, but the people give me this life, love, and I feel just warm.
Yeah, it just sounds to me that this was an experience you were supposed to have, so you can bring something on to, because we talk about war and it's the fear and it's the trauma and it's a lot of bad things. But the only thing that can actually end the war and end the conflict is actually love, even though it sounds, you know, to say it that way is, you know, people, yes, of course, but to understand that we can only share our love. And if everybody can go to that level, there won't be any conflict anymore. So sometimes when I think I see this from a distance up here, safe in Norway, but still it feels kind of close, you know, closer than ever. And I feel that people here, it takes this, you know, more, what do you say, personally. But, and then there's a lot of, you know, oh, this, you know, Putin is bad and this and that. But the only thing that can actually stop this is not hate and conflict, but that we can share love with each other and...
Yes, exactly. I try to explain it to everybody because it's really after the war start, I feel the same. I feel aggression. Yeah. I think it's bad people. All this nation, it's very bad. And I feel so a lot of aggression. And when I speak with my family, which you know in Nikolaev, in Ukraine, and they cry and say, we can't be here. It's very difficult. I can't explain it. It's so strong aggression. And then after this moment, when I run, it's something broke. And I understand, you know, it was aggression. It was pain in my legs, in my body, and something broke. And all. I'm not, I understand that I should show this moment, show this view, because it's really like full of love. Moment, and I want to give this love to all the people. And if people feel this, we can do it together. I really think it's last step in this war. If people feel this love, all the world, we can make our worlds better. We can stop war. We can make better. We can help each other, like people in Israel help me. And I helped this guy, which ran with me, and he helped me with, for me, it was a lot of love and a lot of this positive. So I really want to translate this love to all the people and the people to Russia also translate this, because we can unite and we can make it better, because we don't, everybody don't want war. And they also don't want war, but they should, I don't know, they should feel it, and we can make it better.
Because the truth is, nobody really wants war. Nobody really wants war. So, as you say, if we can choose love over fear, then we have a solution in the long term, because then we will start behaving differently and actually treat each other not as Russians or Ukrainians, or if you're an American or a Chinese or whatever, it's just, it transcends the borders that we have put. I want to encourage you to do everything you can to just share that message, even though it seems, even though you're only one and it seems small, but telling your story, it just sounds so amazing that you were able to go and all these synchronicities happening, so you could go there, have that experience, and then come back and just have that emotion, which is so strong, and share it with all the people around you. And I think in the long term, this conflict will end and we have to start rebuilding. But in the meantime, we have to be very strong, and holding on to an emotion as love is maybe the strongest there is for our near ones, but also expand it to more people, even those that are called our, you know, enemies, even though they're not really.
Yes, I hope this love and this emotion go to all the world. This was my goal. After 18 kilometers when I ran, it was my goal. That everybody hear my voice, this voice from Ukraine, this voice from me. And it was my goal to talk to everybody and try explain this love. So now you and every journalist very helped me to translate this. I really very wish that all the world and Russian people also, they saw it. I hope they can see it, because now it's Russian Federation, it's not show everything would really need to translate. So I very hope they can see it maybe in YouTube or something, different places, and can understand, just try understand this.
Yes, I will put this recording up so we can be shared, definitely. No, I just had, when I read about you, you know, I make this podcast, it circles around life with running, but often with my guests, we talk about a lot of other things, you know, psychic things and spiritual stuff and the journey that we're all on. That kind of running is an image of, you know, we start off as runners, but as we run, we change as people, and not just because of the running, but emotions you have, things you see, like you explained, people you meet, and things you can contemplate while running. And what you felt there seems like one of the most strong stories I've ever heard. And when we see the context of the conflict and everything, I truly think that, you know, as you say, an angel or something was sent to us if we just have the eyes to see it. And I don't mean the eyes, I mean, you know.
Yes.
The visions. Yeah, the visions we should let in to our hearts. So, yes, I'm very grateful that you had the opportunity to talk to me, and I hope we can keep in touch.
Yes, thank you. I'm very glad to meet you. Thank you.
No, I just feel grateful that I have the opportunity to share this. And even though this is a podcast only in Norway, I will take this recording and upload to YouTube so you can share it with whoever you want.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you, Valentina. Is there anything more you would like to say before?
Yes, I really want to say this to all the world. Just remember that the love building peace. And yes. So if we unite and we have all of people have love, so we all of people have peace.
Amen to that. Is there anything we can do here in Norway to support, like an organization? Do you know of anything that would be helpful if people want to share some, you know, give some money to an organization? Do you have anyone to recommend?
Yes, you know, now I have a lot of message from my city. Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly from other cities, but really from my city, it's very difficult with medicine, because other countries support us with foods, with water, but we really very need some something for, you know, protect the land. I don't know how to tell you English, something special machine for protect the land, but I know it's impossible now, but also we need medicine. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult with medicine because of very people in my city need this, and they can't buy it in chemists, they can't buy it, and no, it's general nothing inside Ukraine for medicine. So I'm ask a lot of people also help us with this medicine.
Yeah, okay, you can write it to me in a mail, and I can put it up in the podcast notes, write it in the comment if there's anything special. But maybe Doctors Without Borders and organizations like this.
Yes, doctors are also very neat, but now it's dangerous in mm-hmm. Ukraine, so I think it's not a good idea to go to somebody inside Ukraine.
No.
Not maybe inside Ukraine it's okay, but inside, example, my city, it's dangerous. So people inside my city are very needed, but better if you can collect some medicine and send. It's also very help us.
Of course, yes. Okay, Valentina, thank you again. And hopefully I'll speak to you soon. We'll keep in touch and keep doing what you do. And take thank care you. Of everyone around you. And hope for your husband's well recovery and everyone's, really. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Det var Valentina på Zoom fra Krakow i Polen. Jeg har lagt noen linker i podcastnotatene. Det New York Times-artikkelen. En liten video laget av noen i Jerusalem, hvor dere ser litt intervjuer og kan få oppleve litt at det var ja, det var ganske stort for henne her. Og så er det bare å takke Patreons som gjorde Zoom-abonnement mulig. Det måtte jeg kjøpe, og det dekker dere. Setter veldig pris på det, alle Patreons, som også kan se hele denne Zoom-samtalen på video. Veldig vakker, vakker dame med et stort hjerte. Så jeg tenker på at det er mange i samme situasjon akkurat nå. Så det er viktig at vi bare klarer å gjøre oss så store som vi bare kan, og omfavne alt vi bare kan for tiden, og fortsatt klare å ta vare på oss selv. Nå er det verden trenger oss som kan bare steppe opp litt og gjøre oss selv så gode vi kan, og alle andre så gode vi kan. Så bare ønsker jeg dere en god dag videre, aften, natt. Takk.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish. But you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast. So everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.